Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer. Drag me to a movie I really did not want to see and endure it for an hour and a half, Williams.
And I accept that title with gladness.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. We just recently came from the theater after watching one of the films of this month, Dora and the Lost City of Gold. I don't even know what to say, so...
We're not to that part of the show yet.
Yeah, well, stick around as we get into that conversation, but before we do, Spence, just take it away.
Hola! The Filmlosophers swing into action with a song and a dance by Mingle Media TV and VGB Studios. Not really, but you get the point. New episodes to view each Wednesday morning. Can you say Wednesday? Wednesday, that's right.
Oh my god.
Head on over and download the latest episode on your favorite streaming platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, and Audio Boom. You don't need a talking map, or a talking backpack, or a talking rock to tell how to find us. Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Seriously, this is all in the movie. It's amazing.
It's horrifying.
Finally, traverse the jungles and beyond the quicksand and the horrible animation of this movie so you can check out our entire episode list on filmlosophers.com.
That's right. You can head over to filmlosophers.com where you can probably listen to all of our wonderful, great episodes, as well as our brand new extra credit episodes, which we will be dropping a new one this Friday. So stay tuned for that to drop and be in your streaming feeds as well. But obviously, before we do any of that, I just want everybody to know how much I am seething because we're talking about this movie. That's right, folks. We are talking about Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
I mean, who can feel sad with that background music?
This is like glass to my brain. I don't even want to, like, there's nothing I really want to say anymore about this, and I know we have a whole nother like hour to talk about this. So before, oh my god.
All right, I'm going to just jump into the official synopsis. Having spent most of her exploring the jungles with her parents, nothing could prepare Dora for her most dangerous adventure ever, high school. Always the explorer, Dora quickly finds herself leading Boots, Diego, and a mysterious jungle inhabitant in a ragtag group of teens on a live-action adventure to save her parents and solve the impossible mystery behind a lost Inca civilization.
I don't even want to. Like, I just... Directed by James Bobbin. By the way, James Bobbin, we just recently found out this is the turd behind all those Borat movies and Bruno and Da Ali G show and Da Ali G. Like, he's behind all those ridiculous things, and he made this movie. Like, that makes all the sense in the world now to me. Whatever. Directed by James Bobbin and Isabella Moner as the title character. The film also stars Eugenio Derbez, Michael Peña, Eva Longoria, and Danny Trejo in supporting roles. This film actually was created largely to the response of the College Humor web miniseries on YouTube with the same name starring Ariel Winter. If you haven't had a chance to check those out, it's actually really funny. We were watching one of them before we started, and it's essentially a grown-up, not a grown-up, but like an older Dora doing like an actual mission, like a Mission Impossible type thing. So it's actually really funny, and that kind of gave, you know, inspiration to creating what is now what we have as this movie. This is also the first Nick Jr. film to be released in theaters.
What? Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Nick Jr.
Yes. The Jr. is a very important thing.
It is extremely important. Also, in terms of speaking of Nickelodeon, this is actually the 15th Nickelodeon feature film.
Yep. They're in theaters way too much.
Can you name any of the other ones, Spence?
The Last 15. Airbender. I know that's one.
Uh-huh.
I don't know any of the others.
I mean, you don't remember Good Burger from 1997?
Ah, that's a throwback right there.
The Rugrats movie, 1998. Rugrats in Paris. Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius.
And then wasn't Rugrats Go Wild one of them, too?
The Wild Thornberries was one.
Ugh.
Hey Arnold, the movie. Rugrats Go Wild. And then that's when you started getting into, like, the SpongeBob SquarePants movies.
That's
you
when
know,
I stopped.
I'm a goofy goober. And all that.
What?
You never see?
No, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Barnyard, The Last Airbender, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the animated one.
Mm-hmm.
Another SpongeBob movie. Another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. And then Wonder Park, which was recently released this year. Which
they did that one, too.
Yeah. Can't you tell? this film, one of the unique little things about this film, and I actually reported on this when it first broke.
I remember being shocked by this.
This film was once rumored to have been possibly directed by Michael Boom Boom Bay and produced by his studio, Platinum Dunes.
I'm going to reverse my original disbelief with now I want to see that movie.
I didn't even want to see this movie. I don't even know why you're talking about I want to see it again, but by this, I don't even like him. Those two would have made the ultimate nasty taste in my mouth kind of movie. I probably would have taken a nap in the movie theater.
I have to say, this has been the most reluctant I've ever seen you to be in a movie theater.
Even with Sharknado, I was having a little bit of fun with it just because it's Sharknado. You can't take it seriously.
Yeah.
We saw it on TV. We didn't pay to go and check it out. This one we paid. Someone told me on the way out that I should have totally pulled a Karen and went up and said, I want my money back. this movie is the equivalent to knowing you have to pass gas and making a mistake and ending up with something in your drawers. This movie completely wasted my hour and a half of time. As much as I hated the trailers, and we're going to talk about the trailers in this movie because the trailers were definitely all over the place. But as much as I hated the trailers, I would have rather have seen another hour and a half of trailers like that than this movie.
No,
this movie was rough.
That's worse.
This movie, oh my gosh, this movie is I can't. As a former preschool teacher, this was glass to my eardrums. It made me feel like, you know how when you're in the bathroom and you hear somebody awkwardly in the stall a couple ways down and they're like, oh my God, I think they're passing a stone or something. It was that kind of uncomfortable in this movie.
I don't know what kind of bathrooms you're going into, but they're
You've
not
never been to a public restroom?
Not like that, no.
A couple of the numbers for this film before we continue. Budget for this film was around $49 million. Its domestic opening weekend actually hit $17.4 million. Worldwide totals as of today, which today is August 20th, are in the neighborhood of 45.5 mil.
So it's almost breaking even.
After a whole month.
It came out
after a whole month.
It hasn't been a full month, though.
After a whole month.
It didn't come out in July.
Either way, it should have, because then I would have been out of the theaters by now. And I wouldn't have had to see it. As you can tell, I didn't have the greatest of times with this movie, and I kind of want to... Let's kind of explore the mindset of what happened before we got to the theater. So me and Spence, we decided we were going to go to theater together. We're going to go watch this. I literally was trying to figure out every way to stall from having to go inside the theater.
It was.
I was maybe I should go get something to eat. Maybe I should go do this. Did I leave my keys in the car? Did I leave my car unlocked? Did I do this? Is my stove running? I would have figured out anything just to not have seen this movie. And then I try to take my sweet time going through the line, end up with just a large Sprite and a bag of peanut M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer is literally behind me, pushing me forward to the register to make sure I get out of there. We get into the theater and it is a nightmare for me. because it is nothing but kids all around me in this nice theater, which, mind you, it's a kids movie. I get it.
Yeah.
But still, it doesn't take away from the fact that I just did not want to be there.
Eddie has a constant problem with noises during a movie theater.
It's not a problem. It's everybody else's.
You shushed a baby.
I don't care.
You shushed a baby in a different
and
movie.
And that baby will learn for the next
time.
No,
it won't. It's a baby.
He'll learn.
Learn what?
That shush went with some impact. Had some oomph behind it.
It did not. It
like,
was like
shush. And the wind hit him in the chest, and he's like, ooh, something hit me.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds almost like child endangerment, which is what most of this movie is.
We'll get to the movie, because there's... So, before this movie even starts, so I'm thinking, like, the first thing on my mind is, I'm like, this movie's going to royally suck. And I'm like, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to any of it. And so it starts with the trailers. The trailers are like these third-rate, like, nobody-cares movies that, like, who... I didn't even know, like, I realized it until later. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did remember that. But who cares about Jeremy Renner's movie about being an Arctic fox who wants to be a husky and pull things, and Heidi Klum, who can't really voice act, and... Yeah. Alec Baldwin?
I'm really concerned about Jeremy Renner and his post-Avengers plans.
I just don't think he has any.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I think
it
his agent's like, Jeremy, you're not going to believe this. I got you a commercial for McDonald's. McDonald's.
You know, a McDonald's commercial?
I don't know. Oh. I wouldn't doubt it. He'd probably call it a Whopper or a Big Mac or not. I don't know.
Okay, those are from two competing companies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, the trailers were all over the place. One was that one. Another one, I do have to admit, I am interested in seeing Abominable. It does look interesting.
A little.
But that was like...
I'm on the fence on that one. Because I could easily just tilt.
I just like the music. I really do. The lead
actually,
actress.
Yeah.
The music is like, I could close my eyes and just like get in the feels with that music. I'm like, anytime you incorporate violins to any song,
I am
there. Yeah.
That's really what's selling me on that movie to be 100%.
No, that's it for me too. Like, literally, I could just, if they just sold the soundtrack to that, of every song, like, on that thing just done through violin,
that could be fun.
Yeah, I just buy the soundtrack. I wouldn't even care about the movie. It stars, like, Chloe Bennett and all them. Like, I don't care. But then it gets into, like, these weird other movies. Like, I don't even, like, they're making, was it a Duplo movie?
Oh, no, Playmobil.
Whatever. Who cares?
Is it Duplo Lego?
I don't know. Like, whatever it is, they're making a movie about some third-rate Lego.
Well, because if Lego could do it,
and Harry Potter is the star.
Yeah, that was also. People are making questionable decisions everywhere.
Like, what are these people smoking?
Why is Daniel Radcliffe in this as a spy?
I why is Jim Gaffigan in this movie?
He's on that list?
He was in that list. I'm like,
oh, jeez.
Jim Gaffigan? I haven't seen him since, like, Super Troopers, but okay. Like, I don't know.
A lot of these trailers, since I don't have kids, have just made me question, what are we showing kids these days?
Well, and then it ends, all the trailers, it ends with... So if you're familiar with the Christian film industry, there's obviously all kinds. You get all kinds. You get, like, amateur home movies pushed to the theater because they have a great message. Or you get these, like, you have, like, this powerhouse team in the Christian film industry who essentially, like, do all the higher level, like, better quality movies. And their names are the Kendrick Brothers. And they apparently made this movie, which looks like every other movie that they've done prior, called Overcomer, about a runner.
Okay, this was like, I have never sat through the trailer of a movie and been like, I'm sorry, what is the point of this movie?
She runs. It's like Forrest Gump, but for her, I don't know. You're looking at me like,
she has asthma and she wants to be a runner. All right. Like, I have asthma. I can run, I choose not to because I find it difficult.
I was going to say, as an asthmatic, like you being, because you have an inhaler, you have asthma, yeah. I've seen you had, you know, you suck at breathing, but like I...
Thanks.
I've seen you like, does that sound like a typical thing, like a typical hobby or things like that, that somebody who has asthma would want to do?
Like, some people with it, people have differing levels of severity. Like, people who don't have, like, that high of a severity, of course they're going to be able to run. People who have super severe...
She was sitting down and had to take a puff. Like,
hey, sometimes allergies are real, dude, okay? So just back off.
I don't care. If you have allergies by just sitting down, what do you think is going to happen if you're running and they hit you in your face?
Yeah, you can still run, though.
Like,
that's why you take it with you.
I can do it, coach.
This, like, okay, I'm sorry, but I don't feel like this is a movie. This is my life, and maybe that's why I feel like this is not a movie.
Spence tried out for the cross country team. It didn't go well.
Actually, no. I'm so dumb, Eddie. This is a movie about my sister. Because she's on cross country.
Oh my god. Oh my god. She's gonna beat you. She's gonna come up all the way from the south side of town just to come up.
She's like, high school. She was. Because I remember her talking about running up and down the bleachers at the high school. I just remember that.
Like, you can't even walk up the steps without heaving. Oh, man.
Well, she didn't really need Taylor that much.
Either way, like, it's a random movie to, like, pitch to
that
kids.
Was strange. I was like, what kid is going to be like, yeah, I want to see the right? movie about the asthmatic
All
girl.
The kids in there were, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 at the most. Not many of them were, like, older kids. I don't think any child that was still in diapers was like, I want to run. Like, yeah. I don't think that was the general, like, reception of the film, of the trailer, at least. So, the trailers, I don't get that whole thing. And this is Nickelodeon. This isn't just some, like, random whatever. And maybe it makes a little sense because Walden Media is one of the producers. Like, Walden Media is one of the production studios.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who did, like, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and all that.
Oh. Okay.
So that might be, but still, like, this is still Nickelodeon.
Yeah, but I could see them being pushy. Like, we need to shove this in the parents' face. This is something they might want to see.
Oh, yeah. Hook them in with from the creators behind
Fireproof
and yes. Courageous. That's like, are those movies or are they fire safety films? Like, what are you supposed to do with this?
Remember that trailer for Playing with Fire?
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone is making questionable decisions. That's the theme of these trailers, really.
It was Playing with Fire.
It had John Cena and...
Michael
Kicking Key was in it, too.
There was no... And then Brianna Hildebrand, I think her name is.
Oh.
She was the one from... she played a Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh.
Yeah. She's
I
the...
I miss her.
Oh, yeah. She's the older sister. Oh. That movie looks... And mind you, if anybody's going to be listening to this, you could probably start playing the game right now. I'm going to be saying the word stupid a lot.
Yeah.
Because that trailer, John Cena's hair looked ridiculous.
Questionable decision
number one. He looked like Creeper in a van number two.
Exactly. Why would you ever style John Cena's hair like that?
That's not what he's used. Like, his head is
just
too
buzz cut it.
Exactly. He works for a firefighter. Like he's a firefighter.
Sense.
It doesn't make any sense to have it long like that. He looks like he's trying to be a super hip dad. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I don't
he's supposed to be a super hip dad in this movie by the end of the film.
It's like Vin Diesel in the pacifier all over again.
Also, the premise of this movie appears to be I rescued these kids from a fire, and now I need to take care of them?
Right? It's like...
If that is how it works, we are doomed.
What kind of orphanage are these firefighting houses, like the firehouses housing? That you go in there, and there's, like, a whole room in the back of, like, kids who have yet to be, like, picked up or taken ownership of, like, oh, yeah, we got, like, 200 kids in the back. Parents haven't come to claim them yet. But, you know, sooner or later, they'll be coming.
See, this is what happens when you don't fund orphanages. The firefighters.
Okay, Mr. Scrooge. Oh, my gosh. Do my taxes not pay the poorhouses? But
so,
it just,
yes, this is a door flurry. Get there.
But even with all that, with all of that, I would have rather watched through that again for another hour and a half than to have seen this movie.
I would not have. I was much happier with my movie viewing experience because I got the double whammy of door on the screen being just insane. And then Eddie next to it just losing his mind slowly as the movie progresses.
So before I get into my mind's dark depth into like dark delve into like the madness, let's talk about expectations.
Mm-hmm.
What? So I'm just going to forget it. I'm just going to put mine out there.
Okay.
Like the only expectation I knew this was going to be was that it was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Like I just didn't even want to give it that kind of hope. Like I wasn't going to say like, oh, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be good. It'll whatever. You know, maybe they're going to actually create a solid Dora the Explorer movie. Who knows? I didn't. No, I was like, no, this movie is horrible. There's no reason to make this. Why even consider making this into a live action film? Like, how hard up are you for cash that you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel? Like, what's next? A Blue's Clues movie? Steve's missing. Let's go, Blue. Like, what's the next step?
Steve has been off the show for a long time.
You know what? It doesn't matter. They are scraping that barrel, and they are scraping it hard. And you know what? This is the first step. After this, what? They're gonna make Gullah Gullah Island the movie. Watch.
You said that? I totally forgot about that show.
Gullah Gullah Island.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
What is
that? Was the one with the yellow,
the big tadpole? Yeah. Binga binga. Binga binga.
What is
like whatever he said, I don't even know. That show though, like I don't even know. I refuse. Like I'm telling you, they're scraping the next you're gonna have like what? That the gnome dude? Like
okay, like all right. To address what you're saying, zoom out from just this movie and let's look at the industry and what's been happening. Disney has been just basically remaking all of their films as live action with almost zero changes. There's also been those really horrible, like, gnome movies, like Gnomeo and Juliet and Sherlock Gnomes.
I would have rather seen those.
I would not have seen that.
I can see it now. Little Bear the movie.
Oh, Bear in the Big Blue House?
Bear. Well, that was Disney.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah, you really want to see a crime action thriller? Little Bill, the movie.
We can't do that. We can't do that.
I don't. Like, no. I just didn't want this at all. And I'm... This movie's breaking me from the inside out. Like,
yeah, no, I've been watching it happen for the past
2 hours.
I've been
slowly just... Ni Hao Kai Lan. We finally get to see the child who has a cancer finally pass away or something. I don't know.
What? What is happening?
I don't know, Spencer, but this movie was just... Oh, my gosh. Okay, so ultimately...
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the list of classic Nick Jr. shows.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Allegra's Window. Allegra's Window! Allegra's freaking Window! That's next on the list. Telling you, like, I'm just, and then at the end of Allegra's Window, after they've done a few, the scene's gonna go dark and it's gonna come up and Dora's sitting on against the window, and then you just see this like big pink light behind her, and it's this just wall of pink, and there's a face in the center, and it's like,
it's face.
Hi there, face here, I'm putting together a team, and then it's
oh my gosh! I would totally watch that.
I wouldn't even watch it. And I came up with it.
You've got Dora Diego, Allegra in her window,
and Binga Binga.
And Binga Binga. Oh man, I want to watch that movie.
I don't even want to watch. I didn't even want to watch this movie. So that was my expectations for this movie. Let's pass it along because I can deep dive into this as much as I can. Go ahead.
Oh, I actually don't have nearly as much to say on what I was expecting. I was expecting to go in and probably have a good time with you, which I got.
I was the entertainment, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, and so, like, there was a I didn't think they were going to do this, but I was hoping that, like, maybe they'd be mildly self-aware and just make, like, a whole bunch of, like, jokes of, like, this show was kind of dumb because it did certain things like this.
It was dumb.
Yeah, but they didn't do it in the right way.
Oh, no, they just, they weren't, like, intentionally dumb. They were just happenstance dumb. Like, it was, like, not even, like, they were aware of it. It was just, hey, let's be funny and do this, and let's, like... I really hated this movie.
Yeah, I know. You've said that exact phrase at least 5 times.
So, let's go and talk first impressions as soon as we step foot out of the theater. I have to say, hold on. No. I have to say,
because you're going too far already.
No. I'm just talking about, like, right when the movie ended.
I want to start slightly before.
Okay.
Because I was just sitting there.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, first impressions. I tried to get out of the gosh darn theater. I was waiting for Spencer. The ending is happening. This ridiculous song and dance routine is happening, talking about dysentery and rashes and all this. And I'm like, Spence. And you're just sitting there watching me wiggle in uncomfortability. And I'm just like, I want to get out. I don't want to be here. I really need to go. And you're laughing at me. And I finally say, Spence, are we going or what? And you bust out laughing in the middle of the theater.
Oh, you were like, no, okay.
I was about to raise hell.
Yes,
I was about to raise hell.
You were like, go!
I was, because you were still sitting there. And I'm like, what are you doing? Let's go! Get up! It's another, like, Kendrick Brothers movie, like, go! You can do it! Get up! Like, I was about to, like, pick you up and carry you out because you were there with your legs still up. It wasn't until I said something, and then you took your sweet time as your feet lowered.
It's as fast as it goes.
And I'm sitting there listening to this god-awful song, hearing all these little kids laugh over the most stupidest things. Like, oh, he said poopy. And I'm like, just... No. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? And like a dummy that I am, I had to go back inside because I left my sunglasses in my seat. And I'm like,
that's what happens when you rush
out. You know what? No, that's not what happens. That's what happens when you create a god-awful movie where I wasn't even, like, I was actually, this is how bad this movie was. There was a couple who left before we did. I was jealous of that couple because they were out the door and I wasn't even out of my seat yet.
It doesn't matter. You would have still had to go back for your sunglasses.
No, I would have came back and gotten my sunglasses by the time we actually ended up leaving the theater. It turned into, like, this weird jungle-esque Bollywood scene that just nobody wanted and nobody asked for. Like, Dora and the freaking
Well, they did it, so they
dancers.
Were singing the We Did It song remix.
No. Don't you dare claim to know what the heck they were.
That's what was happening.
Saw the track list before we went on the air.
No, I was in the theater and I was listening to them say, we did it, because they did it.
What the heck is a We Did It song?
That's what happens at the end of most episodes, I think.
How do you know?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know, it's kind of like you just absorb information through osmosis.
Nope.
Like, I don't know why you're noping. You're already out of the theater. Okay? It's over.
I wanted to cry.
Like,
this movie was like...
You were having so many emotions during this movie.
I was like... Why? Like, Michael Peña, you're much better than this. I was literally just talking about you the other day with Crash. And then I've talked about it several times. I couldn't stand the first Ant-Man movie. I would rather have seen the Ant-Man movie all over again with Michael Peña in it than this movie. Like, And then Eva Longoria is in it for like a whole hot second, and then she's gone. She's just there to play like the whole, like, yep, I told you, and I'm out. Like, she got paid millions of dollars just to say I told you so. Yeah, then this movie's giving me cancer.
Yeah, like, you said that. Which is usually not a thing you want to say multiple times.
I can't. I know. I couldn't even with this movie. Like,
can't even.
What was your first impression out of the thing? I didn't even talk about what I felt. Well, okay. Yeah, you know how I felt. I'm literally in a puddle of mess of my own emotions because of this movie.
You start talking, and then you went on for 3 minutes, and I feel like, regardless of whether you said it or not, people have a good idea of how you probably feel.
You know what? No, they don't, because I had to sit there and wait for you to get up.
Yes, we've been.
Do you know how difficult it is to get your attention when I know you're watching me out of the corner of your eye, squirm in that seat, and they're big seats, and I'm like, Spence, come on, Spence, and you're like, I'm like, Spence, get up. I felt like Mickey from every Rocky movie, like, get up, you gotta get up. Like, I was on the verge of yelling in the theater while everybody else is like, I
gonna be honest, surprised you didn't.
I am surprised I didn't. You're right. I am very surprised.
I'm surprised a lot of things happened during this movie.
First impressions for you, right outside the gate, after you left the theater and I had to drag you out.
Okay. So, keeping in mind everything you've just said.
Yeah.
I was actually having a wonderful time.
I hate you so much. I hate you.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. The problem with this movie for me is that, like, there's two things going on. It's the movie and you. And, like, the things that happen on the movie, while they're not that funny, watching your reaction to them makes it hilarious.
Oh, well, I'm glad you I'm glad that my pain and suffering is enjoyment to you, because I have never wanted to punch a movie screen more so in my entire life. Like, every single second of this movie just screamed. So this is a throwback here, but I now understand why Chad hates certain movies. Like, he cannot stand certain movies. He will literally watch either a horror movie that he doesn't like or anything like that, and he'll literally just say, "This is stupid. This is stupid. This is stupid. Like, I don't know why I'm watching this." This is what Chad would say. "I don't know why I'm watching this. This is so stupid. This is a waste of my time. I know how he feels in that frustration of watching this movie and feeling my brain cells slowly wither and die without the use of an outside substance. Like, I was literally sitting in the theater feeling my IQ drop by the second as I was watching this ridiculous mockery of whatever cartoon character this child portrayed and force myself to endure for the sake of our lovely audience. This movie is the bane of my existence. Like, I really hope that Nickelodeon goes under so that this movie never sees the light of day on Blu-ray and digital. Like, I really I really hope that the Latino, like, community will come up and protest this movie.
Oh, actually, let's talk about that. That's a great point. This movie had a wide Latino cast.
This had a horrible Latino cast. You had Michael Peña, who
Michael Peña's a great guy.
He hasn't played a Latino in years. Okay? And then you have Eva Longoria, who's only popular because she was in Desperate Housewives. And then
I don't think she's done anything since then, right?
No. Well, okay, she did that. What was that? Overboard, but she didn't, like.
No, that was, what's his face, wasn't it?
No, but she was in Overboard.
She was in Overboard?
She was
I do not remember her at all.
The friend, so the friend that got him the job.
Oh.
Her okay. His wife. She was in that.
Man.
But other than that, I didn't really who cares. Like and then you got Isabella Moner, who is I don't even know, like she's like this caught in the middle. She wants to be Latino, but then like some of the ways she was saying certain words, it's like this sounds so fake. Like, I have family who speaks Spanish to me, and they would never talk like this. Like, the way she was like, hey, primo. Hey, prima. Like, te amo, primo. Like, no. You were in the jungle. You weren't exposed to people that talk like that. Why are you saying it like that? And then, speaking of primo, which is cousin in Spanish, the cousin is like this whitewashed Hispanic dude who sounds like every other high schooler in every other movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem anything different. There was more, I felt more of a Latino vibe from the secondary character of the other know-it-all girl than anybody else in this movie. And then the toilet cherry at the top of this turd cake is you have what's his name? Eugenio Derbez.
Yeah.
Very well-known Hispanic actor. Very well-known Latino actor. He's done, like, novelas. He's done funny shows. He's done movies. He's done a lot of movies. I actually enjoy him.
Yeah, even I know he's been in a lot of movies.
I loathed him in this movie. Like, he wasn't even funny. Like, he was actually leaning into, like, some of their fart jokes.
Yeah,
this is a fart joke. Like, orale, I eat too much frijoles and chimichangas. Like, what the heck is that? What are you doing?
I could have done without that part.
Yeah, I could have done without all of the parts. Like, obviously he has a very heavy accent, and I think in certain parts, like, he really leans on it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were certain scenes where the accent kind of sounded like it was fading away a bit. But overall, like, it was a very heavy accent in this one. But I just didn't like his character. It wasn't the fact that whether or not he was portraying his Latino side or whatever. It was just the fact that he seemed like a clown in this movie. And even, mind you, I don't care. We're going to spoil the crap out of this movie. I don't even care. Even when you realize, by the way, you can look on IMDb. Like, I knew right away he was the bad guy. Right from the beginning.
Well, he tells you the movie's bad.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a bad man.
Before the twist, which was crazy.
Whatever. Like,
well, the second he first showed up in the movie, I'm like, that's the bad guy.
Oh, completely. Completely. Like,
because it made no sense whatsoever.
Oh.
What did you find?
So, you can't have Dora the Explorer without, obviously, Boots.
Oh, yeah.
But
I was wondering when you can
but, well, that. We'll get to that in a second. Oh, trust me, we'll get to that.
Not Boots.
But you also can't have Dora the Explorer without Swiper.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was Swiper?
I looked it up already. I forgot who it was again.
Benicio del Toro. Freaking Toro. Why would... What? Like, you're already, like, in this space where all you have to do is just find this revival where you come back in the Marvel Universe or go do another Sicario movie or maybe Usual Suspects Part 2. Do something else with your time, but you lend your voice to this character who is fully animated, mind you, and you only see him twice. You see him briefly in one scene where he's chasing after someone, and then you see him at the end. And it's like, why? Why do you need a voice? You're not, it's nobody's recognizing it. I really, really didn't like this movie.
I know, bud.
I just, oh my God, I'm...
But that nice thing about Swiper, though, is that, like, you hear so little of him that it's easily not to figure out that it's him, because I didn't know.
No, I didn't know either, which is why I'm saying, like...
And that's why he probably is doing okay, because no one's like, who was this horrible fox?
Somebody who decided to be horrible. And like this movie just, I don't even care that we don't sound intelligent right now. Like I just don't like this movie just sucked out the very joy of me. Like this was, okay, Hold on.
Oh, what was this?
What's the name? Hold on.
Of.
Hold on.
Finish a question at least. Don't leave everyone in suspense.
So, what
is?
No. This movie
is
the likeness to what Dementors are in the Harry Potter universe. This movie sucked the very joy out of my soul for loving movies because of the fact that I just wanted to leave that. I wanted to leave that theater and burn it down for showing such a thing. Like, I just did not. I did not have fun with this movie. There was no part of this movie that I was like, like, I was.
Oh, that's not true.
Because I was laughing at the kids. I didn't mind laughing at the kids who were enjoying themselves. I don't mind seeing kids who enjoy themselves and, like, hear them laugh after something that's something silly. That was enjoyment. But, like, everything outside of it, I'm like, what is this?
So what were you laughing at during that bathroom scene?
Which bathroom scene?
The one where Sammy goes up to Dora and she's like, you better watch out because there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal. And Dora's like, a healthy animal is more dangerous, actually. Because you laughed at that bit.
Because the little boy was like, what is a healthy animal? There was a little kid in front of me that's like, there was literally a little kid like two rows in front of us that's like turned to his mom's like, what's a healthy animal? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's precious. Like, that's enjoyable. If there was reverse cameras where I could have watched the kids instead of the movie, that would have been more of an enjoyment. Like, the kids
actually
were enjoying themselves.
Yeah, these kids actually seemed like they were having a great time.
They were having a great time, which means, like, that just shows you all the more, like, who this movie is for. Obviously, we're not the target demo, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at these movies from our perspective. We're not looking at it anyone else's perspective, although we try to broaden that so that it kind of works well with everybody. Like if a film is a romantic comedy, or if it's like if it's more of like an anime, or if it's something else, like if it's outside the realm of our scope, we try to expand our horizons a little bit and open our minds a little bit more to those types of films. That's something we do. I couldn't do that with this movie. There was no chance in the world that I've seen the SpongeBob movie, I've seen Good Burger, I've seen all these other movies, and I don't mind revisiting a lot of them now. But I never want to revisit this movie.
Oh, like, I would agree. There's no reason to revisit it.
So, since you had, well, I'm hoping there was something about the movie that you actually enjoyed, since you enjoyed yourself so much. Like, what were some of the highlights for you in this film?
The highlights of the film, like
the way you say that, Who was watching the film?
Because I had such a vastly different experience than you, this is kind of hard. I think I'm going to put my highlights as a concept instead of actual highlights. The concept of just what this movie was about
as a is concept
insane. Because, like, Dora, she's in the jungle doing stuff. That's kind of what the movie has, like, the show has been about, I'm assuming. This movie has her being kidnapped and drugged, which is just insane as a premise. Because, like, you know, child endangerment is a thing that you generally don't expose kids to, but I guess, you know, whatever.
Oh, not to mention, when she comes to, she has this massive, like, hunting Bowie knife in bag.
Dora's just bringing all sorts of dangerous stuff to school, like flares.
Seriously, like, how did she even make it onto the airplane with any of that stuff?
Why did no one tell her, hey, you're not in the jungle, you don't need to bring half of this stuff?
Like, why do you need a hammock or iodine pills, or why do you need, like, for me, it's like, she's planning to run away. Like, that's what it seemed like. Like, okay, whatever. This movie's bad for several reasons, but another reason is you get a chance to see Dora and Diego high. Like, they get high. They essentially get high. Don't even try to sugarcoat it. They get high because they see each other and they're like, oh my God, look at your head.
Set up the scene if you're going to just launch into it.
At one point in time in the film, the Diego, Dora, and who Eugenio Derbez's character's name's Alejandro, they end up like going alone, and they're going through the jungle, and they end up running into these large, oversized, ridiculous avatar-looking flowers, and
it did look like it from Pandora.
They end up bumping into them, and because they bumped into them, it caused them to open up and shoot out these spores that started filling like the air around them. And as they began to breathe them in, they began to hallucinate and get high. And so you go from this like mild, simple looking scene to where everybody starts viewing each other as cartoon characters, i.e. Dora begins to look like her cartoon counterpart and Diego begins to look like his cartoon counterpart. And this gets totally weird because amongst all that, you get Dora talking to her backpack again, talking to a map, and then she gets greeted by a rock, yes, where she then proceeds to discourage the rock, saying, I don't know you.
But she doesn't know the rock. You don't just talk to random things.
You don't talk to anything that's not talking. Like, that's the whole point. But then all of a sudden, you get this weird sequence where Alejandro decides he's got to take off his shirt.
Yeah, okay, that was so
he took
weird.
Off his shirt.
No, he took off all his clothes.
I don't even know. Like,
no,
I don't,
he did that, and they showed his butt as a cartoon character.
I must have pushed that out of my head because I don't remember that.
No, that happened, and I was like, that's an interesting choice. There's so many choices in this movie that people just went with, and you're like, are you sure that's what you want to go with? Like, for instance, the actress playing Dora. Everyone else is like, except for Alejandro, everyone else is like at an 80%. But like, Dora and Alejandro are like at a 150%.
No,
and it's
no,
jarring.
No, what? No. They're like, everybody's like operating at like 50%. Those two are like at 200 or 300%. They're like over the top. Ridiculously, like, you don't need to be that, like,
yeah,
that much. Like, tone it back, bring it back a little bit. Dora's like, oh my god, we could do a song. Let's do a song about pooping.
Also, like, if you're gonna have songs, you've gotta have background music.
Or
I don't
actually
care.
People who can sing,
like, you can auto-tune stuff, whatever, but like,
well, they didn't do it with these,
they didn't do a lot of stuff they should have with, like, when someone does a song, you gotta have some backing. Otherwise, it's just so dead silent, and it's really awkward. You know what this movie
is
really good
at? Yeah,
this
movie
was
awkward. Yeah,
really being awkward.
Yes.
Like, it was just from top to bottom.
Yep.
It was the most awkward movie
yep.
I have ever seen.
Yep. This movie was awkward. Like, there's this whole storyline of, like, this weird teen attraction, like, frustration between two of the kids, between Diego and some other girl.
Yeah, I was like,
you have this.
What are we talking about right now? Because this has not been a thing for half the movie.
Yeah, no, it's this forced thing. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and then you get this like sequence where all of a sudden the random weird kid who they brought along with them starts saying like, oh, that's a us thing. That's a us. Like,
he is trying so hard to get
like. Chill out. Like, she doesn't even know you like that, dude.
It's,
you're over here
like she turned down a rock. She's not gonna have you.
Exactly. She turned down a rock. Who do you think you are? It just, this movie just really I don't even know.
Yeah, no. That everyone in this movie is really awkward, and it just gets more awkward when you just lean into like traditional Dora the Explorer things, like when she turns to the camera and she's like, this is delicioso, can you say delicioso, and then there's just nothing. It's
well, and then the worst part about it is, by the way, there's your Gullah Gullah Island song or your picture. Hey, look, it's Binga Binga. Like, the worst part about it is, like, they make it seem like it's something that she's going through as a kid. So you come to realize that not only is everything that Dora did in all the cartoons, like, not real, it's actually, like, a phase that the parents are worried she's going to outgrow or that she needs to outgrow.
No, like, they do some weird things to where I don't know how to interpret certain things that happen in this movie. For instance, like, her adventures, like, with Diego when she's six, like, those were imaginary, and they had Swiper in it, but yeah. Swiper is an actual character later. So has this fox been following her around the world?
No, here's the bigger question. Like, how old is this fox? Like, foxes don't live to be that long. This child was like 5 or 6 when he was already at the peak of his, like, ability to swipe. And now she's like 16.
Yeah, so it's at least like, you know,
this fox should at least be like walking at half speed or something.
This thing's backflipping.
Like, yeah.
I guess arthritis isn't a thing for
apparently
fox.
he can jump on and run on a propeller of an airplane. I guess, you know, hey, whatever. But, like, you know, you got Dora pulling out Bowie knives and this fake, you know, fox can run on a propeller. But who cares, right?
Speaking of fake things, Boots.
Boots?
He looked so not in most of the scenes he was in.
Because and the focus, like, of the characters and their eye, like, their eye direction was not on point. They weren't looking at Boots. They were looking to the side of Boots or next to Boots or underneath Boots or on top of Boots. It's like, why? Why? Like, you could have made him look more like a monkey. Or better yet, use a real monkey. That's what we do nowadays. Like, you don't have to. I just.
You want to know what else was really an odd choice?
Watching this movie? That could be one.
No, that's fine. The one where Boots and Dora are having that, like, last pep talk and Dora's talking to Boots.
Oh, my God.
Boots? Well, before we get into that part. Boots had an expression on his face of just, it was like the camera was cutting to a completely different scene somewhere else because, like, he had a static face on his face that wasn't responding to anything she was saying. And then he talked.
Like, so just to mention what you're talking about, like, yeah, there's a whole scene where she's, like, coming to these conclusions about what's going to happen and why they need to be, like, safe and blah, blah, blah. And Boots looks like he's just, like, Like, he's not responding. And then he responds. And the stupid monkey has the voice of Danny Trejo.
This, like, is concerning for multiple reasons.
Mostly because of the fact that it's a monkey. It hasn't talked in the entire film. Mm-hmm. Nobody's high on anything at this particular juncture. Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Like, where the heck did that come from? Has she always had Danny Trejo's, like, voice in her mind?
Or is she just hallucinating somehow and she's actually really needs to go to a mental hospital?
Or, here's the bigger thing. When she fell down that ravine, she actually got impaled and died, and this is the afterlife for her.
Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, she did fall down this. She tried to make this ridiculous jump that I could eyeball. It's like, you're not going to make this.
Oh, you were talking about that far back, yeah.
Wait, was there another time she fell somewhere? And
well,
then...
there was all these different times, yeah, but you're talking about at the very beginning.
Much. Yeah.
Like, she's older and she tries to jump in this ravine and she falls and it sounds like it's a pretty big fall.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, though. She didn't actually survive because she's like, Boots, go get mom and dad.
She dies there.
But what if she actually died there? Like, she's in those, it's a whole, like, Grease scenario. Where, like, how, you know, the whole Grease conspiracy theory.
Yeah, where they fly off and then it's because someone's dead.
Well, because they're slowly dying because Danny went out to go save Sandy in the ocean. Because they talk about how they met. Have you ever heard this theory?
No, I've heard the theory. I just don't know the movie super well.
Well, either way, like, at the when they're doing the tell me more, he talks about how he swam out to sea to save her because she was drowning. Well, they actually both drowned. And as they're drowning, all this is happening, like the blink of an eye, you see your life flash before you kind of thing. And as they're flying off in their car, they're actually passing away.
Man, that's really dark. And that's probably what happened here.
So what happened?
Because it doesn't make sense. Like, no. Boots had to go get her parents, which means that her parents would have enough of a communication level with Boots to save her.
Which would make a lot of sense because prior to, you don't see Swiper after that opening play scene where, like, she's pretending and she sees Swiper. And then up until that, like, fall scene, you don't see Swiper. After that, you see him in the later scenes. Mm. But you also see a much more expressive Boots, because Boots is just more like a monkey once, you know, up until that point. More like a loyal dog, to be honest.
Yeah.
But after that, it's like it just kind of spirals into this whole little thing.
This is going to be a theory on the internet. I'm sure it's already up there.
We started it. Wrapping this up, because I don't really want to go any more further into this movie.
Okay.
My brain's starting to hurt. Any last thoughts on this movie before we wrap up?
You know, if you're a parent and you have a child and they want to go see this movie,
if you want to waste,
I'm sure you probably have. I would hope that you've built up an immunity to Dora. It's pretty much on brand.
Not even.
Do
like,
you think this is?
This was like over the top, ridiculous. Like not even. Like at least with Dora the Explorer, the cartoon, there were lessons to be had. There was an understanding. And it was shorter.
Well, there's plenty of lessons in this shorter. Movie. It
was shorter. There was no lesson.
Okay. When that lady in
don't
the
let
museum.
Scorpions, don't let scorpions mate on your head. That's all I got out of this movie.
No, in the beginning, when Dora is kidnapped, she follows this museum lady down to the basement. Stranger danger. You need to talk about that.
That should be secondhand knowledge. Like, you don't go into random doors.
She's
with random
from the jungle.
That's her fault. That's nobody else's fault,
but
hers.
That's her parents' fault. Not teaching
that's
true. Properly.
That's her parents' fault. Yeah, you know what? This movie was just garbage. Like, I will be happy to say garbage with a capital Ugh. Like, I wouldn't want to see this movie even, like, in my voodoo. Like, I'm really hoping that it takes forever for this thing to go to digital, because
it'll be there in a month or two.
I'm hoping it just skips over, like, digital.
Dollars.
I hope it just skips over digital and just goes to Netflix. Like, just send it to Redbox.
Send it to Netflix. They need content really badly.
Send it to Nickelodeon for Sunday Night Movies. You know, that's where it needs to go. So wrapping this up, let's go ahead and start with you, Spence, because I want to go ahead and get yours first so I can just wrap up mine, and then we can be done with this and wash our hands. Does the film pass or fail, and how many monocles? And so help me God, if you say it passes, I will throw something across this table.
I guess I won't for my own personal safety.
I don't know that.
Really? I guess, you know, I feel like this movie does actually pass, but not for me, for the children.
That, oh my God. Oh my God. Are you serious? Are you serious right now? It passes for the children? What is this? Do you have Sarah McLachlan behind you playing or something? Will you remember me? That is the most bougie question answer you could ever give. Or do it. What is this? 5 cents a day is going to feed a child after watching this movie? Is that what this does for you, Spence?
Oh, man.
Does it feed the children? Is that what this? Do it for the children.
Okay.
This ain't no charity case. This is a movie. They're making hands over fist money on this bad boy.
It's for the children. Please. Okay. So my joy mostly comes from watching this with a good friend. So if you have the ability to enjoy this with a friend of yours who likes horrible movies, then maybe it's something you might want to look into. There's probably better things, so, you know, put this really low on the poll. You know, I'll give this, like, a 1.
Did you say if it passes or not? Oh, you said you stepped. It passes for the stupid children. Whatever. this movie fails for me. I just, this movie.
Really? Why?
Really? Really? This movie fails. It could have been easily like a straight to TV movie.
Actually, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't.
It felt like it was.
Yeah.
Like, completely. It felt like it should have been. So it should have been a straight to TV movie. There was no star power in it strong enough for me to say, oh, this is why it should have been a movie. There was nothing in it. And I refuse to even look at this and claim it to be a major motion picture. This movie should have gone straight to, like, Sunday afternoon when nobody watches Nickelodeon type of time slot. Like, this movie... I would appreciate the SpongeBob movie more so than this one. At least with the SpongeBob movie, there was more heart to it. I actually enjoyed that.
Ooh, yeah. This is also probably a good time to recommend... the Dora and the Destiny Medallion, that College yes. Humor skit. If you haven't seen this skit, you should actually look it up. Like, legitimately, it's pretty funny.
College Humor did a whole series on Dora the Explorer, as we mentioned earlier. So if you haven't had a chance, check those out. It's on YouTube right
now.
It's like now,
four parts. It's like 3 minutes apart. You'll be done yeah. in a few minutes. It's but actually...
It's a much more enriching experience than actually going to see this movie. So
it's
save yourself
really
some money.
What they should have done, like, you know, take out Preventive because Dora, but make Dora kind of more self-aware of, like, things.
Oh, my God, this movie.
You should have made this work.
So, obviously, this film fails for me. I'm going to give it 0.1 for Danny Trejo.
You know what? That's actually higher than I thought you were going to give it.
Like, I will never give a movie zero unless it's sincerely, like offensive and wrong.
What about The Amazing Bulk?
That gets a zero. But this movie, I'll give it a 0.1, so okay. That's like a tenth of a star, like a tenth of a monocle. Okay. It's like a sliver of glass.
All right.
Just because Danny Trejo's voiceover was, like, so surprising that I was like, if he talked like this through the whole movie, that would have been cool.
That actually would have been pretty good.
But now it left me with, like, more questions. That's like, does Dora just get high all the time? Is this what she, like, is? How does she get Danny Trejo's voice in her head? That's what I'm wondering.
Well,
like,
how does anyone do it? They hear it.
But from where? She's from the jungle. What? Is there a rhino that she talks to that sounds just like him? Like, what is the happenstance here? None of this makes sense. I don't think Danny Trejo goes to her school. So, you know, what do you do?
Right.
So, that about wraps up another episode of The Film Philosophers. Again,
this is
check...
the last one, because Eddie will not talk to me after this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
You can check out all of our previous episodes on filmlosophers.com, and you can also check out our social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers, our Twitter page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101, and our Instagram page at filmlosophy101 as well. Leave us your thoughts. Did you check out the film? What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did you not? You can just unsubscribe right now, because we don't need that kind of company around. Let us know your thoughts. We're interested in knowing, honestly. So, but yeah. We also wanted to make sure that you knew of a couple, you heard of a couple upcoming weekend releases. You have Overcomer comes out this Friday. So go and get your daily dose of encouragement. Speaking of Overcomer, Angel Has Fallen, the third film in the Gerard Butler little franchise, you know, whatever, the Fallen movies.
Yes.
And then Ready or Not, the film about the woman who gets married into, like, the gaming industry family, and they play hide and seek.
Oh, all right.
So check them out. Also, we want to let you know that this Friday we are dropping a new episode of Extra Credit. So stay tuned and stick around for that this Friday. You won't be disappointed. We hope. So that about wraps up another awesome episode. And so we just want to leave you with, please don't go see this movie. But from all of us here at The Film Philosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.